Welcome to Tech on Deck podcast brought to you by Fidelity Investments. I'm your host, Maureen Olajars, CIO of Enterprise Software Engineering.
And I'm Adam Ely, the head of Digital Products and Engineering.
Each episode takes listeners inside the walls of a fintech industry.
Anything from cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, cloud, and crypto to the intersection of product and technology.
Tech on Deck breaks down the topics top of mind for technologists today.
Plus, we'll give you insight into the exciting and challenging careers in fintech. Welcome back to another episode of Tech on Deck. I'm Maureen Olajars, head of software engineering at Fidelity.
And I'm Adam Ely, head of digital products and engineering at Fidelity. We have a great episode for y'all today. We're here with Megan Kelly, head of research for Fidelity Center for Applied Technology, often abbreviated FCAT, thankfully, because that's a lot to say. So Megan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. So Megan, for our listeners, we'd love to hear a little bit more about you, and we're going to talk about this. A lot of strategic work you do for the firm. But let's start with, in your title, we talked about head of research. Can you tell us a little bit about what research means?
Sure. There are so many types of research happening here at Fidelity that it's confusing. I think a lot of times when people hear the word research in a role, they assume it's, you know, kind of a traditional equity research or one of the, you know, the asset management passwords. There's an enormous amount of research going on. We also have researchers such as behavioral economists. We have, it runs the gamut of people working with our customer knowledge centers and data sets. My type of research in FCAT is the kind where we're looking outside of the firm for emerging trends in both society and technology to highlight and analyze and bring in and help us all understand what it means for Fidelity and our opportunities ahead. So it's a different kind. It's analysis, but it covers the outside world and how it's changing around us.
Right. And you cover this for all of Fidelity. Right.
We try, yes.
You try, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure. So our target audience is really the internal leadership of the firm. And our mission, we say, is to infuse strategic conversations with provocative outside-in thinking. So we're looking for opportunities.
So I love reading the reports that y'all put out. I think you're probably talk about that somewhere in here today. So I'll hold on that. So I am familiar with some of the stuff that y'all research that comes to fruition that we get into production. But can you tell our listeners some of those things that have started off as those kind of nascent ideas y'all might have had that really we then acted upon as a firm?
So I think one of the ones that you would hear about and recognize, of course, you know, early work on the emerging crypto ecosystem. That was one that's clearly continued. And one that I think is particularly interesting is thinking about the space of gaming. So if you just kind of play this out for a little bit, there are a lot of different angles on this. And you might think gaming, why in the world would Fidelity be interested in gaming, right? But it's a really rich space for understanding how people's relationships are forming in digital spaces and how we might think about how those evolve and what kinds of dynamics are in social relationships online. So there's that whole space. And then there's a whole other idea of, as you know, we started seeing more and more stats. This is a multi-year again topic, but we started seeing more and more stats about the amount of time that Americans are spending playing video games. And again, is that an assumption you hear about? Oh, it's the kids, you know, they're playing Roblox or whatever. But the stats actually play out that it's more active gamers are in the age bracket of 35 to 44 than kids. So that's an interesting signal in itself, right? So we pursue that, kind of try to unpack it a bit, figure out what is actually happening in this space. So that's our core kind of mission, to understand who are these adults and how are they building these relationships. The second part of it is, as people are playing games, they're executing transactions, they're managing portfolios of assets, right? They've got, whether it's like a wardrobe or skins or whatever collectibles. And that's interesting in itself. How are people making decisions? And then lastly, in the gaming space, there is a hardware component, right? As a technologist, like the engines that these things are running on and the design and the chips that are making this all possible, that's a totally interesting story that we should kind of wrap our heads around as technologists inside the firm. And a lot of the GPU work that started in the gaming space has now bled into all sorts of ways we execute our own software and our own missions. So gaming in general went from inquiry, and of course we weren't the only ones in the firm thinking about this, but it went from inquiry in a research perspective, experimentation, but we're also learning a ton on the back end about how to pull this off and what the virtual interactions look like.
So does this mean that your team can play games during the day and get away with calling that research?
all the time.
Amazing.
Well, I pick out of what you said about the signals. So there are certain signals, there are things going on in the larger marketplace, and you are open, you and your teams are all open to wherever that may lead you, and there can be adjacencies to things that would be highly valuable.
For
to
sure.
Fidelity.
Okay. For sure. Yeah, and I mean, it's not to say, I mean, there are all sorts of interesting things happening in the world all around us, right? The task is to kind of bring it in, pull it together, try to figure out, is there something that applies right to the future of our industry, let alone the future of our firm, and then add the so what, right? So there are tons of things we could write about and think about, a lot of things we kind of put on the cutting room floor because it doesn't apply to where we think we're headed. But we're really looking for the kind of seismic level impact on the industry.
So maybe let's explore a little deeper on what you've just said there, because it sounds really important. And when we talk about, we'll hear sometimes within the firm, you know, scan, try, scale. So can you say a little bit more about that or other ways in which help the audience with some other examples of how you decide, you know, what things ought to go further into research? And then I think there's, you know, over time here as we're talking, there's another linkage into things with our Fidelity Labs where we may go try things with business units, things of that nature. So maybe we pivot there.
Okay, right on. Absolutely. I would say, you know, scan, try, scale definitely drives our whole approach. And you can think about it as organizations, right? We're in FCAT, we're specifically mandated to scan and try, and sometimes we even scale. Versus at the firm level, we're all meant to be experimenting and thinking creatively as well. So I would say in the research process in FCAT, it ends up being a lot of when we say scan, of course, we're reading secondary sources and consuming the material that's published externally. We're doing a lot of talking with leading experts. And the fun about this is that a lot of the leading experts are technologists inside Fidelity. So we get to talk to our colleagues and we get to talk to our peers. And then we talk to a lot of different people in academia in particular. We have university relationships we're talking with, you know, trying to feel out what's happening in the cutting edge, basically. And that includes a whole swath of creative people, and it might not all be academics. It might be people who are startup founders who are actually building in that space, and a wide variety. And so then we bring that in, we talk about the ideas, and then we have the tools and, like I said, the mandate to really start building and experimenting. And not everything does go to scale, and there are a lot of things we try and projects that are, you know, learning just by getting our hands onto a particular technology. And then we do have the ultimately the chance to partner with the business and or a group like Fidelity Labs and bring it to millions of customers, which is kind of the full circle. It's a really fulfilling way to think about it for me.
So there's so much in there to unpack, and y'all are out there doing so much, talking to so many people about so many different things. How is your team made up? Like, what kind of researchers and backgrounds? I mean, you're here with us today. I have to assume you have some technology people in that group, but what are all the backgrounds and expertise that have to come together to make such a successful team?
The whole point is diversified perspectives, right? So we know we need a mix of voices and backgrounds, and yeah, we're a small team. So we have on our team, we have people with PhDs in different topics. We have people who have run machine learning teams in the industry. We have people who have studied how tech and society interact. We have ex-journalists. It's a very broad mix. Right. So across FCAT at large, we have a bunch of technologists who are super deep in the field. So like I said, we can talk with them and kind of use their expertise to inform our perspectives. And on our team, we have broad generalists and then also the kind of deep level experts on particular topics. So, you know, it's been wide and deep, and you kind of fluctuate throughout your career, and then we bring in specialists. So that's been how we manage to keep it varied and informed.
So Megan, I briefly mentioned your reports. and how much I'm a huge fan of those reports. Honestly, I look forward to them. So you have a big one that's coming up. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that, the purpose of that, and maybe even when it's coming out?
Sure. So probably the largest effort of our team over the year is putting together what we call the priorities report. And it's really our best take on the most impactful trends and technologies that we think will impact the future of our industry, like we talked about. But this is one report that collects maybe 6 to 8 different topics that we think are the most critical to be focusing on now. And they accrue over years, of course. We're not saying that, you know, these are the only things to worry about. So we're really excited about that effort.
Very exciting.
And I know it's something that's widely read within the firm, certainly.
Yes. So it's definitely one of our biggest efforts all year. And I would say some of the more interesting topics this year, for example, we're getting into questions around how are people's digital-only relationships changing? How is the future of computing going to look different with a combination of different types of hardware? And yes, generative AI, of course, but how does it really weave in to the rise of supercomputers and the use of quantum? How are these all going to work together? So some really tech, you know, forward thinking as well as some societal thinking. And as it happens, I'm excited to share that the priorities report that we just talked about just came out.
That's amazing. And I know internally, this is much awaited every year. So it's great to see, you know, for business and technology leaders, operational leaders, it's just, you know, a nice bird's eye view, right, of the industry and the trends. So, okay. So Megan, thank you for everything that you've shared so far. We've got an idea of the job, you know, how you all think about it, right, in terms of doing research for Fidelity. But one of the things that we'd like to cover with our audience is, what about your career, right? You know, people are really interested in hearing not only what makes you come to a company like Fidelity, but what's your journey? What's your career journey been like?
Oh, for sure. So my I've been here for a while. like many of us, it's a great place to grow, I've found. And I would say my journey here started, well, before that, my first job out of college was at a startup, and it was doing content streaming. It was one of the first ones to put, you know, news stories onto people's websites. And the challenge there was trying to sort out, ironically now, this is still a topic of conversation, which I find so interesting, algorithmically sort the incoming news stories based on content. So for example, if you were trying to categorize a news story about a sports team that had a mascot who was an animal, you want to make sure it goes in the football category and not the nature category or something like that. But when I realized what I found so interesting about it was looking around me, the most interesting people to me were the technologists, and the ones working on the content analytics system had library science degrees, which I thought was really odd because I'd never heard of a library science degree, right? And so I ended up going to grad school for library science. And at the time it was, you know, search and queries and context and information retrieval challenges, which brought me into FCAT as a grad school intern in our library, of all things. And we still have a team who does custom research requests and can do a lot of the proprietary scanning as part of that scan, try, scale, Maureen. Okay. So yeah, so then as I, you know, learned more and I picked up, again, we talked about these kind of broad technology stories, I became very interested in how social media was emerging in ways to communicate with our customers, but also with each other. Here we have the freedom in many ways to pursue curiosity, which is a huge part of this role that I didn't even talk about, but you have to be curious about the future and you have to ask good questions. So the other piece of that was brewing that I was really curious about was all the different startups in the fintech space that were starting to become very interesting in different ways, some prominent, some exciting. And so I focused on fintech startups as lead analyst, and now I lead the research team at large. So
that's an amazing career journey and a great story of you know, growth here in Fidelity. So thanks for sharing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's-
so Megan, you've talked a lot about FCAT. You know, we also have Fidelity Labs, which I think when I first came in the company, I didn't understand like the difference or the lines between them. Both great organizations now that I do know them. But could you talk to us and our listeners a little bit, especially those looking for jobs, looking for career paths? the difference and the similarities between FCAT and Fidelity Labs.
For sure. So we both start with the same spirit of innovation, cutting edge, looking for the opportunities in the technology-driven stories around us. I would say Fidelity Labs is really a software incubator that's tied to building a new business in a software-driven way. And in FCAT, we do a lot of that. We are also specifically mandated to be experimenting and finding the next idea for the next software-driven business. So we kind of span the breadth, whereas Fidelity Labs are able to focus and build consumer-facing or market-facing product wholly and holistically. So that's kind of the way I think about it. But truly, we collaborate all the time, and you know, we share our research, and they're great partners. So
that's great.
Synergistic.
Indeed. Indeed.
So now let's move into a little bit about talent, because we like to talk with our listeners on for these roles and jobs within Fidelity Investments, right, coming inside the walls. What do you look for? How do you think about Fidelity talent and FCAT talent?
So when we're out there looking for new team members, in fact, I just welcomed a new team member just this week, we're really excited about people who can come in with a point of view and have experience working with perhaps either a specific technology or exposure to a breadth of both hands-on experience and thinking about the critical thinking about what we're doing. And that's really helpful. And I would say the expertise comes married with ideally a spirit of experimentation and a good team member. You got to have fun with the people you're working with. And yeah, that's one of the best parts I think about working here, is that we have really smart people and really kind people and really nice people. So that's why a lot of us are here.
Excellent. Okay.
It's a good reason. That's a good reason to be somewhere.
And you talked about the career path even for yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know, just that growth and being able to move into, you know, slightly adjacent roles, right? And further build your expertise.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a lot great. Of mobility. There's a lot of opportunities.
So Megan, before we close out the podcast today, and we could talk for a long time, we love to just give a little bit more about the people that we're interviewing. And so one of the things we call it our fun facts, and that can be related to work, personal, but just tell us something that would get us to know you a little bit better.
Okay, so given the time of year, I would say that I really enjoy skiing with my family. And I feel like we're in this really sweet spot in which my kids are small enough that they want to ski with us, but they're not fast enough that they just take off and leave us. So I'm trying to enjoy this really sweet spot of timing. I think it's probably brief, but we love to be outside and do a lot of skiing.
Okay, that's excellent. Yeah, beware when they can ski faster than you or they go by. Are you okay?
Oh, it's terrifying.
Yeah. So Megan, with your background and all the stuff that you get to work on, I just have to assume that there's things you come across in your travels that you find fascinating. Do you have any examples of that?
I mean, there's so many, I think, that are kind of obvious and new, you know, wow technology experiences that you have. What I also am constantly amazed by internally is all the work and the thinking and the strategy that goes into the security space, right? And so, of course, you know, obviously we do an enormous amount of work to keep the customers safe and secure, and that shows through on all the external facing sites. But I've always been amazed at the expertise and the thinking that goes into the complexity behind the scenes and looking for cutting edge solutions and finding the latest technologies to enable even more protection than customers even know about. I guess what really blows me away is all the work and thinking that goes into that behind the scenes that doesn't come immediately in the customer's face. There are a lot of smart people thinking about it.
Well, on behalf of the cybersecurity team and all those that help with that, I will thank you for that recognition.
Absolutely.
It's a team that does a lot of hard work.
So Megan, you know, this has been a great time talking with you here today and for our listeners. And so what we'd like to do is say thank you very much for joining us today. And it's been our pleasure.
Yes, super fun. Thank you for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me. Thanks
sure.
for inviting me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for Tech on Deck. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
If you haven't yet, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from.
Thank you to our listeners and recording studio and editors who make our episodes possible. To learn more about tech opportunities, head over to tech.fidelitycareers.com.
See you next time.